What is going on, everybody? This is the Willing to Go Ham podcast. I'm your host, Christian Willingham. On this episode, I decided to have my friend Eric of the Strobank Show. Shout out to the Strobank Show. I decided to have him on and we talk about a plethora of things. I mean, we go from NFL, NBA, we talk a little WWE, we talk about Area 51. we go into, you know, just the overall climate of today's society in regards to certain politics. I try to stay as neutral as possible. Just the FYI, I don't lean any which way. So don't try to, you know, pigeonhole me in a certain area. Had a lot of fun with this episode, for sure. If you guys could please hit that subscribe button. And also leave an iTunes rating if you don't mind. 5 stars are much appreciated, to say the least. But that's all I got to say. Oh, thank you guys so much for the love and support as well. I couldn't do this without you guys. You guys are helping me move units. You guys are helping me get the numbers that I want, the results. Thank you guys for the love and support. With that being said, this is the Willing to Go Ham podcast featuring Eric Johnson. Let's get it. And we are back. We are live. Well, we're not live, but we are back. Apartment is a little hot. Want to apologize to my special guest. Sorry if you're melting, Eric. Guys, got my friend Eric Johnson back, man. Been a while. A lot's been happening since then. Obviously, he's getting married in October.
October, yeah.
October, man. So how's that going for you?
It's good. You know,
the process?
Yeah, it's good. It's something you don't expect when, you know, you do it. But once you start to get into it, it's crazy. You know, I mean, we're 3 months away.
Dude, the cool breeze is coming in. I can feel it, man. That's amazing. That's, yeah. And where the hell is Kirksville? That's like, what, 2 hours away, right?
Yeah, that's where
Truman, I'm going to make that drive, man.
That's where Truman State is.
I'm going to make that drive, man. Yeah. Why Kirksville?
Well, I mean, it's because she's from St. Louis. And so pretty much that's like a halfway point for everybody.
Was she the one that made the buffalo dip?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That buffalo dip was so heat. I was drunk. That was actually when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, man. That was great. I remember, like, nobody would eat it, man. She made two pans. Yeah. One pan was, like, hotter than the other pan, though.
Yeah.
October? Yeah, I'm there in there, like, swimwear. But obviously, man, we didn't come to talk. Well, we could talk about whatever, dude. I mean, because you came to me, and you were just like, I've always wanted to have you back onto the show to talk about wherever, man. You're, like, one of the few guests that we can kind of sort of broach on different topics based off of whether it's societal, whether it's happening in sports. Everything is a microcosm of itself, really. So,
that's right.
Where do you want to start, man? I mean, dude, we can go wherever.
Well, I mean, let's start with, I mean, how fucking crazy the NBA's been.
Woo!
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, the biggest one to me, and probably a lot of people say this isn't a master opinion, is Kawhi and PG. I mean, that's deadly. I mean, you just need Kawhi, but adding Paul George to that mix, who had an MVP caliber season last year.
Halfway through the season.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, though.
Yeah.
28 points a game.
He was a candidate, but, yeah, for sure.
But I think we kind of saw the old Paul George from Indiana halfway through the season, but now we get to see Paul George back to where he's not playing with a complete ball hog type player with Westbrook. Or a ball control player like Westbrook.
We'll put it that way. He's you know, but the media controls what they want to talk about. So they don't talk about with Russell Westbrook, man. Like they weren't. So when KD left, I kind of felt like they were like they gave him the MVP, man, just to kind of say here, man. Like, we know you're never gonna
Westbrook.
Yeah, like yeah. He's not gonna play a championship style of basketball, and apparently. He was already on his way out before Paul George had demanded a trade. Mm-hmm. What's even funnier about it is that Kawhi had went behind he had met with Paul George, and he's doing all this diabolical shit talking about, look, man, I want to play with you. Like, Kawhi mm-hmm. Leonard is a man of not many words, but, like, for him to meet with Paul George and say that,
yeah.
And for Paul George to not want to go to L.A., with LeBron, which to me is a signal that, like, LeBron, stars don't want to play with LeBron. Like, I mean, that's pretty obvious.
I mean, I've said it before on our podcast. I mean, LeBron is a cancer. I don't think people realize that.
Yeesh.
I mean, you're talking about a dude that literally goes to a franchise, demands things to happen, and if they don't happen, he complains about it. I don't get how that's not a cancerous growth to your organization. I get what he did in Cleveland is historic. No, hardly anyone will be able to do that again to his caliber, in which he took an absolutely zero franchise to whatever he ended up doing there. But at the same time, he's in a new role of an era. I mean, people are, you know, talking about him being the, you know, second coming of Jordan.
Oof.
But if you're going to talk about Michael Jordan, you have to keep this in mind. A, Jordan retired after winning three titles, came back, and won three more in a row.
Didn't he send like a fax and said like, I'm coming back? I think I saw a documentary on that, but go on.
And he can do whatever the hell he wants. I mean, if you come back and win three more in a row, not you know, the next year and the next year of that. Yes, he had Scottie Pippen, who probably without Jordan and not on the Bulls would have had a very Kawhi-ish-like career.
Yeah, I agree.
A really good player, but it was just overshadowed by the best player to ever play the game of basketball.
I think with Scottie Pippen, man, was that like he just didn't have the intangibles to lead the team, because when Jordan had left, man, like the Bulls were winning like 50-plus games a season, man, but they were just getting bumped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they needed that alpha to come back onto the team. LeBron himself is an alpha. I just think that every team he goes to, they have to play his style of basketball.
Right.
So, which is why now he's going to be in the runnings for the MVP this season, because they're moving him to the point now. LeBron has always kind of been like a guard, kind of like a combo guard type player. To me, that's how he plays.
Right.
And at this point, I think ever since he was snubbed for Defensive Player of the Year back when he played for the Heat, mm-hmm. that's when he stopped playing defense. So, like, he doesn't care about playing defense anymore. I just think he wants to not necessarily stat pad, but he's trying to you know, get some accolades for whether it's a scoring title or doing, you know, triple doubles or whatever for a season in an attempt, because he's never going to win six rings. Like,
no.
That's not going to happen.
He's too old.
This is too late in his career at this point. But what the media will do is they'll try to use those accolades to tear Michael Jordan's legacy down to bring him to LeBron's level. That's the way I see it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. And, I mean, I've seen how LeBron James treats his power forwards. I've seen how he treated Chris Bosh. And it'll be interesting to see if he treats Anthony Davis like that.
I mean, I think in all respect to Chris Bosh, Anthony Davis is a much better player than Chris Bosh.
Agreed. He's a better arsenal.
But that poses the better question, like you raised. I mean, how well are they going to play together? I mean, everyone talks about this is such a cure for the Lakers. I mean, it's really not.
No.
Because, I mean, you've got two big, big stars in the NBA who have never played together at all, and some people are calling them the best duo in the league coming into this year. I mean, at least Westbrook and Harden have played together.
True.
And, I mean, you know, I know Kawhi and Paul George haven't. But, I mean, they're two guys. Kawhi and Paul George mesh well together.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not super over-egotistic, and they just go out and play basketball. You know, Westbrook and Harden, they will... I think that's going to be a train wreck, but it is, you know, I mean, they played together and they respect each other. So maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be, you know, the Western, rising. Maybe they'll be the team that finally knocks off the Warriors in the West.
I don't see it happen. Like, I mean, because Russell Westbrook has a style of basketball that he plays that's just kind of, you know, he's too fast, man. Like, he's too athletic for his own good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his basketball IQ is really low. Not saying like I'm like the most knowledgeable guy in basketball, but he just does some things where I'm like, dude, why not just move him to the two? Like, he's basically just a 6'3 shooting guard.
That's pretty much, yeah.
That's what he is to me. And maybe if they take him from there, but you already have a shooting guard in James Harden, so it's just like, and in D'Antoni's system, you need somebody who can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody who can make those shots, because I'll tell you what, man, if they don't make it work for this season with D'Antoni, man, he needs to be fired. Like, for real, he needs to go. Like, at this point, you get knocked out of the playoffs almost 4 years, what was it, 4 or 5 years in a row?
Yeah.
By the same team? Like, dude, something's going on,
man. I mean, look at what the same team was, though. I mean, you know, you had Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green's a top 10 player, but I don't think people look at him like that. But I think what he can bring to the team is a top 10 player like.
Not a max player.
Not a max player. Yeah. No, he's not a max
player. Not a max player. No way.
But, I mean, you know, you don't have to be a max player to be a top 10 player.
No. You don't. You're right. You don't. Because a lot of people don't think that Klay Thompson is a max. They don't think he's a max player.
The way he played in the playoffs sometimes, I didn't think he deserved that. I really don't think he did. I mean, he was so inconsistent when they needed him to be consistent. And, I mean, you could tell... But you could tell, though, once Klay Thompson was out, Curry knew it was over. And
yeah.
You saw the look on his face. I mean, it was over. I mean, Steph Curry was doing everything in his, you know, humane possibility in that series. And it was just, it was too much for him, which is a shame. Because, I mean, Steph Curry is one of my favorite players. I mean, he's a very, it's a very talented guy. And well, I'm glad that he, you know.
Let me come to the defense of Klay. I will say this, though. Even though Klay has his off nights, he's worth his weight in gold in defense, man. He plays defense. Like, he yeah. plays... I mean, back in that, was that 2017 series, man? Yo, he was able to lock up Kevin Love, LeBron, Kyrie, Tristan Thompson, which was easy because he has no game in the low post. No. So, like,
yeah.
that was easy for him. Like, you know, he's worth it. He's worth it. And I think that him and Steph will be one of the better duos, I think, in the league. And even, I mean, in the West, they're definitely top three. And they also got the addition of D'Angelo Russell.
That's going to be interesting because, I mean, I think that will cause Curry to play more of a two position.
Yeah.
And that'll make D'Angelo play a hybrid one. And, I mean, that's just going to let Curry shoot the ball more. And, I mean, you want Curry to shoot
the ball. Yeah, yeah. You want the ball in his hands. I mean.
That works out well for them. And I think defensively, I don't know if that helps them a whole lot. But offensively, I think
they're the issue with the Warriors is they're just small, man. They don't have any length.
Yeah.
And they lose Iggy. Mm-hmm. So Iguodala's gone now. They re-signed Kevon Looney. They got D'Angelo Russell. They got their other two draft picks. So I think you're going to see what I want. Oh, they got rid of Quinn Cook, which I'm like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah.
Quinn Cook is with the Lakers now. So, I mean, they've done a lot of purging. Who they got rid of? Boogie? Boogie's with the Lakers now? Like,
well, I think with DeMarcus Cousins, though, I expected a lot more out of him when he came back. And
honestly, he did come in out of shape, though.
Yeah, like, but, I mean, you know, you've sat all year, and you can't be in shape for that?
Nah. Did he, like, blow his quad out or something? Like, yeah. he, you know, when healthy, dude, I think Boogie's one of the best big men in the league.
To me, he's kind of like the current Chris Webber.
Whoa.
Because, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins has all the talent in the world, but you have to catch him on a good attitude day. And he has to be in shape.
Yeah, he has to not roll his eyes.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you got to buy into Steve Kerr's. That's a lot of movement, man. I don't think he's used to moving that much.
No.
In Steve Kerr's schemes and how he kind of runs things. I mean, everybody, it's a copycat league, man. It's like everybody's trying to copy Steve Kerr and what he does. But I think an NBA free agency, it raises so much. It's just like we're coming up on a golden era in basketball. There are no super teams now.
No.
They really aren't a super team. The Warriors were never a super team until KD got there. They weren't even considered a super team when they beat – they weren't considered a super team until they beat the Cavs in this 16. Was it 15? Beat them in 15.
Yeah.
They weren't considered a super team until then. And that's where you had a big three in Steph, Klay, and Draymond. And the big three is still there.
Right.
But they're still disrespecting Draymond Green. So it's like, yeah, are they still a super team without KD? No. And I think when KD goes to the Brooklyn Nets – when he's healthy again, him and they might. It's just overall, it's just so much to be excited about for every team. Each team, I think, is very exciting. Even in the NBA draft, which I don't watch it often, like I want to see what Ja Morant does with the Grizzlies. Like I really want to see that, man. Like, is he going to turn them around? Because you get rid of Mike Conley, who goes to the Utah Jazz, which that was a good move.
I mean, I feel like that's about 4 years too late. You know, I mean,
I agree.
You could have gotten a lot more out of Mike Conley years ago.
I don't know how he got that contract, man. I have no idea how he did nothing to get that contract. Like, I mean, he did, like, but it's just, I'm not ever going to tell an athlete, like, or say that athlete doesn't deserve that contract, but it's just questionable sometimes. It's just like, man, like, he had those nights where he was on fire, man. Then he had those nights where he was just off, like, more than Westbrook off. So, I don't know, man. I think that's a good fit, though. Him and Donovan Mitchell, I think, will play well together. I think Donovan Mitchell, being a young player, thank God they got rid of Ricky Rubio. I hate Ricky Rubio.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Yo, it's just I think he just talks too much.
And he's a passer first point guard.
True.
And he thinks he's more of a scorer than a passer. But I mean, all of his career he's been a passer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I mean, don't get out of the niche of what you've got yourself into. I mean,
dude, he was up there with Steve Nash back in the day, man. Back when he used to pass, like when he was with the Timberwolves. Dude, he used to have some no-look passes. Rob was like, dude, how the hell do you do that? From behind the back, under the legs? I'm like, this dude is amazing. I can't remember where he ended up going, but What else? Oh, the Sixers got they re-signed Tobias Harris. They got Al Horford. Oh, dude, look, if he doesn't work on that jump shot, he's just another Blake Griffin, man. Like, to me.
Which, in reality, isn't that big of an insult. I mean, I hear people say that all the time. Oh, he's just another Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin's a hell of a basketball player. I mean,
he is.
He just played for the Clippers, and now he's playing for Detroit.
Yeah, and he.
And it's not those. Two teams aren't very good.
It's not a bad. It's just like Blake Griffin knows he's not a shooter. Like he's not a scorer. It's just that I think Ben Simmons playing the point. Like, you got to shoot. Like, he refuses to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, he just freezes, and the rest of his game is dope, man. Like, I like the Sixers, but eventually, I think if it doesn't work out, they're gonna end up trading either him or Joel Embiid. One of them's got. Well, not trading him. Somebody's got to go, and I think Joel Embiid, if he keeps getting hurt. And eating Big Macs on the sideline, man, or courtside, or stretching, eating them. I saw him doing. He was like eating a McChicken or something, yeah. Dude. Like, I don't know. Like I said, there's so much going on there, man.
I think you see him be traded before too long. I mean, at some point that process has to end.
I don't trust that process.
No, I mean you've seen it grow. I mean it's been a great growth, but. I think you've got about one more year window. And you've got to beat KD. You've got to beat Kyrie in the Nets in the East now. You've got to beat Milwaukee. You've got to beat Giannis and Milwaukee.
Good luck. Didn't they lose Malcolm? They lost Malcolm Brogdon, right?
I can't remember.
I think they lost Brogdon. I could be wrong. I don't have the roster sheet. I can't remember. But I think I'm pretty sure Eric Bledsoe is still with the team, which I think is cool if he's not putting people in headlocks. But
I mean, that Milwaukee team is nasty. That's a good team. But Toronto just caught that rhythm, and I mean, they carried away the final. And Kawhi carried Toronto to the finals, and carried it off into the sunset. And now he's with the Clippers.
I agreed, and I think that they're going to contend next season. I think Toronto. I think Nick Nurse is a hell of a coach, man.
You know, who's probably the most pissed off guy in NBA is Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that guy got him a pretty raw deal.
Didn't he win Coach of the Year? And still got fired.
Got fired.
That's because you can't get swept by LeBron. Like that Cleveland team, man, was not a good team.
No,
like that was not a good. It's just
and
like
the Warriors showed it was not a good team.
They're not a good team, and I just think that like you had a lot of nutcases on that team. They had to get rid of DeMar DeRozan, man. That dude's a whack job. Yeah. Kyle Lowry is also a whack job. They're both just in their heads. It's really just kind of sort of how they play, man. But I think he's with who? Who's he with now?
Dwayne Casey?
Yeah. I think he's with Detroit.
Yeah.
He's with Detroit, which I knew he deserved it. I think he led the league in wins and everything, man. They said peace. Got rid of his ass, man. Who else was going on there? Oh, Chris Paul to the OKC Thunder. That's not going to last long, I don't think.
No, they're trying to get rid of him. He won't play there.
Jimmy Butler to Miami.
Which I thought that's where Westbrook was going to go.
You got to be willing to be coached, man.
Yeah.
You got to be coached, and I think that – and you got to deal with Pat Riley too. Like, Billy Donovan isn't going to tell Russell Westbrook what to do. Like, I don't even know. It'll be interesting to see what D'Antoni does with Westbrook. Like, if he caters – if him and Harden are willing to share the ball, like, is he willing to, like, relinquish the ball to Harden? Is Harden willing to relinquish the ball to Westbrook? Which I don't see that happening. Yeah. I think they talked about they're going to be playing on, like, different times on the court. Like, they're not going to be on the court together often, which I think is fine. It's just you got to change up so much. And the scoring, and Russell Westbrook doesn't play defense, really. So.
No. And it'll be triple doubles.
They're never gonna get a ring anyway. So,
no.
I think it's a good move for the Thunder. Just like you're just rebuilding, you're gonna suck for a while.
Well, I mean, how much longer were you gonna be swept in the first round?
With MVP with an MVP and an MVP caliber player in Paul George, I don't know. That would get annoying. But what they should do is take the OKC Thunder and just move them to Kansas City, man. Moving to KC. Why not? We need a basketball team here, man. I think we have everything, baseball, football. We have all that. Which, do you want to transition to NFL or do you want to talk about some, like, real, like, societal shit?
Well, you segued to football, so let's say.
Yes, I did, man. Dude, real quick. I don't even know where to start with this. Like, you play Madden, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Madden ratings, man. You still got the Eagles as the highest rated team, which – Next is the Dallas Cowboys, which I don't make sense. I think it's coming from the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, oh, fuck. Since we're on the topic now, forget Madden. That comes out like in August. Dude, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, man, proven innocent, man.
Yeah, he was.
You want to tackle this from the, the societal standpoint or from the football standpoint first? I'm generous, so you can choose whatever.
I'm going to tackle it from all three. I'm gonna tackle
go ahead.
From the fan first.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that was probably one of the strangest cases in NFL aspect in a while. With the tape recording of him and her talking, if you read the transcript, I mean, it just looks awful. I mean, he just looks like a terrible dude. But once you listen to it, you know, she sounds like she's setting him up.
Oh yeah,
and it really sounded like he knew that. So for him, I mean, this is a huge win for him and his reputation.
Oh yeah.
And I know that people are still going to believe that he has something to do with it, and who are we to say he did or didn't? But at the end of the day, the evidence shows that he had nothing to do with it. Now, if his fiance has something to do with it, which just looks like she did, then that's a different story.
I agree. I think that I think that when you look at it in terms of that, number one, like, I never really assumed that he had anything to do with it. I just think that he was put into a situation. Now, we don't know if he really abused it. According to him, he didn't do it. According to him, he just said that he put the girl out.
Right.
But I just think that as athletes, man, not as athletes, but him being an athlete, like, you got to be a little more astute, man. Like, you got to get the hell out of Dodge, especially after the first accusation. Then you go back to her. Then she pulls this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end, I mean, I'm glad that he's able to play again, but I think we should focus also on the kid. Like,
right.
You know, the kid was not going to be able to understand or put together what happened or why it happened, but the kid will listen to the mother. And then she said, which I could be wrong. I'm not fact checking. I don't think that is her son. I heard that Tyreek Hill has two different baby mamas, allegedly.
I don't know.
I don't think that's her son. Now, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, I'm trying to figure out why she wouldn't want to take him away from Tyreek Hill. But obviously her motives were nefarious enough to try to ruin a man's career. We see this happen all the time, man. It happened with Reuben Foster. It's just weird, man. It's like a lot of these players that continue to stay with some of these chicks that are causing them all this trouble, and like maybe they just don't know how to get out of it. So I'm glad that Tyreek Hill gets to play again. And on top of all that, they're already in talks of him being paid as the highest receiver, I think, after the season. Does he deserve to be paid? Of course. Do I think he's the best receiver in the league? Absolutely not.
No.
I have him in my top seven.
I would put him at number eight.
Eight? He would be in my top seven. And I tried to explain this to somebody, man. Like, Tyreek Hill is a weapon. He's not a – we're talking about in terms of a receiver. So you have him – that's like – even though Julio doesn't have the numbers, like, he, to me, is one of the – I'd pick him over Tyreek Hill. For a 50-50 ball in the air, I would pick him over Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, Tyreek isn't a 50-50 guy, though.
He doesn't
have the size for 50-50 guys. So, I mean, that's not his strategy, and that's what makes him not the best receiver in football. I mean, he's not that, you know, he's not that guy. I mean, if you're looking for that guy, you're looking, like you said, Julio Jones.
Odell.
DeAndre Hopkins. You're looking Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, you're looking at those guys. I mean,
yeah, I'm talking in terms of a pure receiver as far as, like, when it comes to catching and right. in traffic. But if people are going to say, well, oh, you know, slant route. I know I'm talking about, like, dude, I've seen Juju Smith-Schuster make some – excuse me, catches, dude, were like, I was just like, yo, he went through the middle and ate that, man. Mm-hmm. I don't see Tyreek Hill really eating hits. Like, he doesn't have to, given his role on the Chiefs. I always said he would be a great slot receiver. Now he's like a number one. He's like Dante Hall, basically, with hands. Like, with a little bit better hands. I'm a little shaky with his route running sometimes. I don't even think he runs routes. I think he's so fucking fast. He can round those routes off.
Well, I think the Chiefs have admitted they don't really draw up routes for him. And they don't need to, A.
Yeah.
Because of who they got throwing the ball anyway. And B, I mean, why would you? I mean, he's the fastest guy in the league, probably. So, I mean, why even try to get the guy to run around when he can just outrun your corner?
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's just seam routes all day. And then the fact that he can open up so much for the offense, I think, is huge. I'm a little shaky, though. I guess now we're transitioning to the football side of it. But there really isn't much to go over. Like, I mean, obviously, what happened happened. It's done. Like, right. I'm not upset about it. If I was upset about it, I'd continue to talk about it. But what he does for that offense, I think, is huge.
Well, I mean, it just adds another layer to who they will be coming in the season.
And then they got the kid from Georgia, man, that Mecole Hardman. Whew, dude.
I mean, from what I've read and from what I've seen, they said him replacing Tyreek Hill was going to be easy. So if you're getting called, it's going to be easy to replace Tyreek Hill. That's a little terrifying if you're playing the Chiefs on defense.
It is, but I just think that you need, number one, the Chiefs' offense to me is not really a power running game. I think it's a lot of misdirection and just a lot of quick decision making on Patrick Mahomes' part. I think this season we'll see something a little bit different. I said it on another podcast last year. I was like, this last season will be the first season you see the Chiefs out there scoring like 38 points a game. I said that. I said that because I was like, dude, I knew Patrick Mahomes was good. Didn't think he'd be this good. Like, great. Great enough to where his overall rating on Madden went from, like, 82. Now it's, like, 97. Like, what? That's not fair. But that's fine. It's totally fine. I think the AFC West as a whole is going to be very competitive. Minus the Broncos. I think the Broncos are going to be kind of a letdown. Listen, this is my prediction, man. For the West, and I told my friend Aaron I would talk to him about it. Or at least I'll give more reasons on the podcast. But, like, I'm picking on paper, man. There's something about Phillip Rivers, dude. Like, the Chargers, you get rid of him and you just bring in a guy next season because he's definitely declining as a player. You get rid of Phillip Rivers, bring in a guy next season like a Jake Fromm, bring in somebody or Justin Herbert, one of those guys, man, and your franchise is on point and ready to go. Phillip Rivers is what's holding the team back. Everything else around him is great, minus Melvin Gordon wanting to hold out, which, hey, man, you think you deserve that? The money you want to get, go right on ahead, but your production hasn't showed it, which is why he's not being paid. Yeah. And Ezekiel Elliott, he's going through the same exact thing. But back to the AFC West, I'm picking the Chargers to win the division, dude, but I think the Chiefs are going to take a step back a little bit only because I don't trust their defense.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I mean – I mean, I said it last year, and luckily I was pretty correct. The Chargers at some point end up falling off and getting in their own way.
True.
The Chargers have a very historic path of playing well and then getting in their own way. And true. They got their own way against Baltimore. They could have easily won AFC West in that game, and they did not.
True.
And the Chiefs took it the next week against the Raiders, and, I mean, they smacked the Raiders, and that was that.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers got bounced. I mean, the Chargers are one of the few teams who are literally the only thing keeping themselves from being a playoff contender and a strong one is themselves.
And it doesn't matter who the coach is.
No.
North Turner did great things with the team. Schottenheimer did great things. And these are different era of players. It's just like, I think that franchise is just cursed.
And how do you not win a championship with LT and Antonio Gates at the same time?
I don't know. I don't even think Antonio Gates is playing this season. He might be. I think he's going to play another. Well, he should. Because they got Hunter Henry back. So they got him back at tight end. Antonio Gates can kind of sort of be your Jason Witten-esque type player. I mean, you got – which I can't believe he – well, dude, that was breaking news when he came back. I'm like, how's that breaking news?
That's not breaking news.
I was like, dude, that's not – like, I'm not impressed, but okay. I would pick the Chargers to win the division, but for them, for the Chiefs are actually my pick to go to the Super Bowl. I'm picking them to go. I don't see a team – Tennessee's kind of sort of my dark horse a little bit, man. Because they have a good defense, man. And they have the best offensive line, I think, in football. Well, one of the best, like top five.
I think Derrick Henry makes them look better than they are.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Mariota sucks, man.
Yeah.
Like, No offense, dude. He's not that good.
No.
He's like, who was the guy they had before Mariota that came there? Was it
Jake Locker.
Jake Locker. Dude. He's like Jake Locker, but Hawaiian, bro. Like, he run and he's a little bit faster. Arm strength is kind of eh.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on him, and I don't think Mike Vrabel is either. So if Marcus Mariota doesn't show up, him and Jameis Winston are basically on thin ice, man. This is it for them. I think if they don't perform, if they don't deliver, they're going to be replaced.
I don't think Jameis has gotten a fair shake, though.
Oh, yeah, multiple deep offensive coordinators, yeah. Head coaches. Dirk Cotter tried to get, like, he tried to – Dirk Cotter basically, like, kind of put Fitzpatrick over him. And I'm like, yeah, he had a – he was hot a couple games. But, I mean, Jameis is your franchise. And he hasn't been doing any – he hasn't really been doing any dumb shit. So it's like, you know, go ahead and let him play, man, you know. Bruce Arians gives – he gives second chances, though. Although I think the Bucs are going to suck again this season. I think you'll see improvements from Jameis as for his touchdown interception ratio may come down. And he likes to air the ball out, too. Jameis, and so does Bruce Arians in that offense. So,
and you're throwing it down the field to Mike Evans. That's a top five receiver.
Didn't they just sign him to, like, a long-term contract, too, like last year or two seasons ago? Like, that's great. All that's good, but Philadelphia Eagles, man, look, they're also my pick to go. Not just because I'm a fan, dude. If you want to break this team down as far as, like, just the intangibles, people keep talking about the health of Carson Wentz, bro. Last time I checked, Drew Brees damn near tore his labrum off the bone, man, okay? Drew Brees was always hurt. Dan Marino was hurt. Peyton Manning was hurt, but that was later in his career. I mean, you had a lot of – Sam Bradford, man. Like, he was kind of – he's injury prone. Like, oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
I think he's still collecting checks from the NFL somehow. I don't know how. But, like, Nick Foles was injury prone, quote, unquote. But when you talk about it in terms of the intangibles and what they're surrounding him with, when you have – they just re-signed Darren Sproles. Like, that's huge. DeSean Jackson. You have DeSean Jackson and Darren Sproles on the same damn team, bro. Imagine the kind of crazy shit you could do. Then you got Jordan Howard. You revamp the offensive line a little bit. You drafted an heir apparent to Jason Peters, who won't leave. This is like his, like what, 15th season?
Mm-hmm.
He won't leave. Offensive line is solid now. You have depth there. You have depth at the receiving position. Alshon, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar. You draft another receiver. Oh, and then you get the Miles Sanders, the dude from Penn State, Miles Sanders. Like, and then defensively, man, I just think it's going to be a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. And then for the first time, I'm picking the Eagles to beat the shit out of Seattle Seahawks because I hate them.
I don't think Seattle's going to do anything.
They're always good. As long as you got Russell Wilson at the quarterback position, yeah. Dude. But, like, you're throwing to DK Metcalf. My only issue with DK Metcalf is that he reminds me of, like, a Julio Jones, but, like, stiff. He's ran like a 4-3, dude. Like,
yeah.
I think he also kind of – he can high point the ball sometimes. But his route running is atrocious. Like, the kid, who's the guy that, A.J. Brown, I think, is a better receiver than him. It's just that he doesn't have the athletic intangibles to be a number one guy. In Seattle's run, they're just going to have to go back to putting the team in Russell Wilson's hands. They don't really have that great of a defense anymore. Like, the Legion of Boom is all gone. Like,
yeah,
there's no more Boom. It's just the Legion. Like, that's really it. Yeah, but I'm excited, man. This is going to be a good NFL season. I mean, and as far as, like, any sleeper teams, people keep saying the Browns do, but I'm not buying them, man.
I can't buy the Browns for a couple of reasons.
Go ahead.
I mean, Odell, he doesn't want to play.
I don't think he wants to play for them at all.
He doesn't want to play for anybody, really. I mean, he didn't want to play for Eli Manning, which is understandable. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to play for Eli towards the end of his career.
But I don't think that, like, you saw the press conference where, like, he went up. And
he just
kind of looked disinterested. And, like, Jarvis Landry's, like, crying. He's like, I just want to play with my brother, man. This is the dream come true. And Odell's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, sure, whatever. Like, this isn't LSU anymore.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was just he was tired of, you know, Jarvis's immaturity. I don't know. But
you want to talk about immaturity. They're cut from the same cloth if we're talking about immaturity.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they are for sure. But I think he was just... Who knows? I don't trust Odell. You know, I don't trust his ability. I don't trust him, his heart being in it. I can't trust the dude to turn around a franchise that's been literally the worst franchise in the NFL for years.
Well, I believe in Baker Mayfield. I think that he's...
I can't even believe in Baker Mayfield.
You know, here's the thing. I can, but the issue with Baker Mayfield is that, like, he continues... And I just told somebody this today. He continues to play this card of, like, people slept on me. I was a walk-on at Texas Tech. I was a walk-on at Oklahoma. We get that. Now, you're the first round... You're the first overall pick, man.
Yeah.
There is no, like, woe is me. There is no, oh, you know, nobody wanted me. I could see if you were taken, like, in the like at pick 17, dude. You're the number one overall pick. No one's out to get you anymore, man. Like,
they're out to get you for another reason.
Yeah. For the dumb shit that you say. You see what he did to Duke Johnson, man? When he was like, yeah, I don't even want to talk to people who want to be here. Basically, I was like, dude, nobody wants to hear that shit.
And you're the leader of the team. I mean, you have to be mature enough to understand that this, you got drafted into a city where nothing happens. So you have to make something happen, and you have to bring positivity to that city. And so far, just winning, you know, throwing your hands in the air, grabbing your crotch, and doing all that bullshit that he does, and it doesn't do anything. That just shows the same Cleveland that we've always seen, and, you know, Colin Coward said it best, people are getting excited over a team that finished third in the AFC North. And they finished third.
You know, I like Cowherd a lot because he really goes in on like certain players. You could tell the people he doesn't like. One of them is Baker. I think he also hates Russell Westbrook. who else does he hate, man?
Well, depending on the day, he hates the Chiefs a lot.
When he talked about the headband thing, I'm like, dude, that is so funny. He was like, he said something about how, like, cool hair, headband, that's your quarterback, but he lost to the GOAT or something like that, man. When he dick rides, I'm just like, dude, shut up, man. He was actually clapping back against LeBron, dude. I was like, yo, dude, like, talking about KD's the best player on the planet now, which I agree. But we're off the NBA topic though, and still with football. Overall, I'm excited. I think we're gonna see some good things. You watch college football?
Yeah, I'm drawn to it by Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence will easily be...
You think he's going to win the Heisman this year?
I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, the guys... There are a few times when you see a quarterback at the next level. And, I mean, he's at the next level already.
Kid's a cyborg, man.
I mean, you replaced Kelly Bryant, who is not a bad quarterback.
Not at all.
I mean,
I think he'll do some great things for Mizzou.
I'm thrilled he went to Mizzou. But you replace Kelly Bryant, and then you come in. He's just a freak. I mean, and what he did to Alabama in the national championship game, that's a freshman.
Beautiful.
That's a freshman.
Beautiful. They're going to win maybe like out of – it's going to come down to Alabama and Clemson. Maybe for the next 3 years, I think Clemson's going to win two out of those three games. I think there's going to be a season where Nick Saban does get Dabo Sweeney. Matter of fact, I don't think he's ever beat Dabo Sweeney, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he ever has.
He beat him in the semifinals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With Kelly Bryant. Yeah, Kelly Bryant was the junior at the time. Yeah, that's right. But for the overall championship, man, look. Both powerhouses. I'm a Ducks fan. The Ducks don't stand a chance. They're going to look good for maybe like 7 weeks. Yeah. And then they're just going to lose to like Washington. I'm used to it, man. I'm used to it at this point. But I do like Justin Herbert a lot, though. Like, he's definitely – he's one of the better quarterbacks to come out of Oregon, who he's going to be since Mariota, who I don't know how he went to the – I don't know, man. I don't hate Mariota. I'm just like, dude, like, you suck, man.
Well, he played college football well, and it didn't transition.
Somewhat. I feel like with him, you need the right coordinator, man. Like, he would work with a guy like Matt LaFleur did some good things for him, but I just think that Mariota doesn't make good decisions. Mm-hmm. He's had a couple of those clutch moments. I remember against the Eagles, which that pissed me off. He threw it over Avante Maddox, who was our rookie, and threw it over his head to like Corey Davis, and they ended up winning the game. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, dude, how did that? I literally was like, oh, dude, they're playing like sticks. Eagles are playing, which is why I fucking hate Jim Schwartz sometimes. I'm like, dude, They're playing sticks defense, man, and they convert on fourth and like 17.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, but when he threw it over his head, I'm just like, what just happened? What the hell just happened? And I think Nick Foles was, I think Wentz was playing that. No, Foles was playing that game. That's right. I think Foles was playing, but, you know, peace out to him. But I'm like, dude, it's just Mariota, man. Not my guy. Never has been my guy.
Yeah, no, he's probably a guy who I think the Titans would have wanted to pick back at. I can't remember who the other quarterbacks were in that draft.
What was that, 2013? That was the 2013 draft, mm-hmm. right? So you had Jameis, him. I think Luck was the year before that, I think.
Well, in 2012, yeah, because Andrew Luck.
Luck was 12, that. And Cam was one, Luck was two.
Yeah.
I don't know who was the quarterbacks in 2013. All I know is if I'm looking across the league now, like none of them were good. No. Like I can't think of a quarterback from that draft class that's still playing. Maybe that's starting. I could be wrong. I think Andy Dalton was in that class. Maybe he might have been. I think he was 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just quickly skimming through in my brain. No, that's no.
Yeah, there's really not a quarterback that sticks out.
No, not that I can think of. Unless he's still like a backup. Let's see. What else? I think we're done with the NFL, man. I think we're done for the time, man. We could. Oh yeah. Well, unless you got something else you want to talk.
I'll nail down my AFC West prediction because I got it right last year.
Okay.
And I said something on the podcast last year that I was right about.
Okay.
I said this will be the best Chiefs offense you've ever seen since 2003. This will be the best Chiefs offense you've ever seen since 2000.
They have people saying that Mahomes is going to score 60 touchdowns, man.
That's a little too far. I mean,
do you think he? Here's the thing: it could happen, but you have he. I don't think he's going to be asked to throw the ball that much, but when he does, I think it's going to be a touchdown. I think he's going to make a lot of big plays. I think his QBR is going to be fantastic.
I mean, I didn't expect him to play like this. I expected nobody him did. To be a Brett Favre type. I mean, he is. But he's more accurate than people predicted him to be. He's more educated than people predicted him to be. And he's just something that morphed into something greater that I don't think anyone thought they would see that early in his career. And I mean, Alex, 85% of it is credited to Alex Smith.
True.
I mean, because if you sit behind a guy like Alex Smith, I know people want to hate on Alex Smith so much and blah, 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 blah. I mean, the guy's a winner.
True. I mean,
there aren't many games that Alex Smith has lost. Yes, he's not a playoff winner, and yes, he's done this, and yes, he hasn't done that. So what? I mean, the guy, look at his win percentage. It's outstanding. Look at his touchdown interception rating. It's one of the best in league history.
True.
I mean, so when Alex Smith retires, he's going to be towards the top in a lot of things.
True.
But he's just going to be one of those guys that doesn't have a ring.
I think that the sad truth about Alex Smith, man, is that he's always been replaced with, like, a newer model. Like, right. like a, something that's like a – Alex Smith reminds me of, like, that girlfriend that's, like, always there. Like, she works hard. She's not the best looking, but, like, she does everything right. But then, like, it's like a new girl comes and it's just like, oh, damn, she's hot. Hey, look, sorry things didn't work out, but have a nice life. And then – goes to the next thing. That's what happened with Kaepernick. Kaepernick was the new light-skinned chick in the group, right? So now, like, have you noticed that? Alex Smith has been, like booted for, like, light-skinned people. Like for real, like, I'm looking at it in terms of, like, the head coach being, like, the boyfriend, right? Like, I'm not, this isn't, like, in no way sexual, but, like, in this sense, it's like the new, now you got Mahomes, the new curly head chick, and Andy Reid's like, oh, man, I like that. Hey, listen, so we're going to live together for a while, all three of us, but eventually you got to go. So like,
well, I think the difference between San Francisco and Kansas City, Alex knew he was leaving.
Yeah, I think the writing was on the
wall.
Once
Mahomes got drafted, he knew that that was his year to play the best he could and mentor Mahomes and then get out. And I think that is different than San Francisco because I think in San Francisco, he thought he was coming back. Once he, you know, was healthy again. But Kaepernick just kept the spot. So I think he took the Kansas City one better than he did San Francisco because, hey, I think Andy Reid handled it better.
Yeah, oh yeah. Harbaugh
wasn't very good at handling things anyway. You know, I think it was just a better situation for him. And it was a really bummer to watch him get injured like that with the Redskins.
Hear me out. Check this out. What if I told you that the NFL comp for Patrick Mahomes, 40, well, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we talked. We're going to talk for an hour. Dude, time flies when you're having fun like with this shit. I'm probably going to make this a two-part podcast. Hear me out for this. An NFL comp that I saw, and I totally agree with it, for Patrick Mahomes, can you guess who it is? Besides Brett Favre. I thought it was going to be McNabb.
Besides Brett Favre?
Yeah, besides Brett Favre, I thought it was going to be McNabb. And I was like, he has a lot of McNabb-esque traits. But the more and more I saw him play, I was like, yo, this is a perfect comp. Because you can imagine if this player played to this kind of potential, what he would be.
I'm interested. I don't have a guess.
Jay Cutler. Hear me out. Hear me out, man. Him and Jay Cutler have the same intangibles. Imagine if Jay Cutler actually gave a shit with that arm strength. With that arm strength, dude. Jay Cutler's arm strength is unreal, dude. People, not accurate. And you know, and the reason why I don't think he's accurate is because I don't think he cares. I really don't think he cares.
No, I don't think he cares.
He doesn't care. So imagine if he did care.
I can see that.
And the cool thing about Mahomes is that, what is he, 23, 24?
He's younger than both of us.
Like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I think he's like 23.
Yeah.
So Mahomes with that arm strength, man, every season, his legs can give out, but that arm strength will not go away. Like,
nope.
So he can, and he has a little bit of athleticism. He's not really a scrambling quarterback per se. He can kind of make some Houdini things happen, but imagine if Jay Cutler did give a shit.
Yeah.
And imagine, the no look pass, Jay Cutler could do that. Like, I really think he could. If he cared enough, and if he wanted to see his team win, he never went to a franchise. You know what? Had Shanahan believed in him, rather than trying to just ship, which I think Shanahan was fired, and then they brought in, it wasn't Fox, because I'm trying to remember why the Denver Broncos got rid of Jay Cutler. I don't remember why they got rid of him. No, you know what? I think Fox was with the Bears.
Yeah.
And then they got Jay Cutler. So Shanahan was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever stepped in after Shanahan, which I think, it was Josh McDaniels. McDaniels was after him. I could be wrong.
No, you're
right. I'm not fact checking.
You're right.
McDaniels was after Shanahan, and Shanahan didn't want Jay Cutler, but he wanted Tim Tebow instead.
Mm-hmm.
How funny is that? So, imagine though, man, if Jay Cutler, and he wanted to be in Denver. Like, he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Despite what the what the scouting report said, that he was kind of nonchalant, but like he was never really wanted in Chicago, he was never really wanted in Miami. Like, he was just kind of there.
Yeah.
But imagine if he gave a shit, then it's like, yo, he could be something great. Like, if he was wanted, he'd be great.
That's a lot of what ifs.
I think it's fun. I think it's a fun and bro, look at their combine numbers. Combine numbers. Their numbers are almost identical. We're talking about Mahomes, who ran a 4.75, right? Cutler ran like a 4.72. Hand size is almost the same. Same height, same weight. Same amount of athleticism. Yo, I'm just, call me crazy. But in an alternate universe, man, Jay Cutler's the man, dude. He's Mahomes before. Mahomes is what Jay Cutler should have been, okay? Minus the curly hair. But.
And the smoking hot girlfriend.
I used to watch Laguna Beach back in the day. That's one of my biggest biggest kept secrets. But now it's not a secret anymore. Dude, all right, we'll switch over to another other topic, man. We're already time flies when you're having fun. Stay tuned for part two. Time flies when you're having fun, guys. So of course I had to make this a two parter. Once again, I'm with my special guest Eric Johnson. Eric.
Yeah.
We having fun, man. What's
we're having fun,
right? Dude, it's midnight, and usually I would be out, but like, no, I don't want to do that tonight. I want to do it this weekend, but you know, who knows?
It's only Friday.
It is Friday. It feels like a Saturday. I've been off since like Thursday, man. Like, well, I've had Thursday day off, but I've had to work that night, like tonight. So like, it kind of sucks. Yeah, I think I have to work tomorrow too. I'm not sure.
I told my fiance, I said, I don't think they're open on Sunday. She said, it's Friday. I said, oh. Never mind
then. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. WWE. I mean, yeah. And guys, if you guys are wrestling fans, which I don't know. I'm not sure how many people. Yeah, yeah, they should. They should. So, where do you want to start with that, man? SmackDown Raw, you want to start with Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman taking over?
That's interesting. I love, well, we'll talk about this because it's the most interesting thing in WWE right now. Bray Wyatt's new character.
Is it really new? Or I feel like it's a hybrid.
He's put some of his old stuff in there, but it's something different. And I think it's going to save his career at some point. And with Paul Heyman behind, you know, Raw and how it's being run, I think it's really going to elevate him to where he should have been. With, you know, the Sister Abigail, you know, and the Wyatt house and shit like that, that just didn't really hit as hard as it should have.
I think the creative team's doing a good job this year, or just since Bischoff, and you can tell the difference. I think that the talent is now able to be a little more creative mm-hmm. with how they go about their gimmicks and their characters. They're actually starting to cuss a lot more,
yeah.
And they're showing the middle finger, which yeah. I think is pretty cool. Will they ever get back to that golden era of the Attitude Era? I don't think so, but I think this is a good step in the next direction because I think since the PG era has started, that started like back in like 2015, a lot of those kids have grown up. So like they're kind of like they're 18, 17 now. So I mean, it will never be because I don't know if you remember. I've watched wrestling for a while. Do you remember back in like 06, 07, yeah. like Raw? No. Matter of fact, before that, this was like 05. So Eric Bischoff was the commissioner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember back in the day, like when they would come up with like, when he came up with hot lesbian action? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yo, this is when like, okay, he would have these girls come out, man, and like they would just go. I'm like, this is happening on live television.
Yeah.
They go at it. And like they were just, the WWE was just raunchy back in the day.
I mean, Edge's live sex celebration.
Yes, I was just about to go into that too, man.
It was different, you know, and I think a lot of people liked it more that way. You know, it was something edgier, and no pun intended.
I was just about to say that.
but it was good, you know, it was good TV. I mean, ECW had made its return to the forefront for a little bit there, and Paul Heyman was in charge of that. They kind of dropped the ball on that, just turned into what NXT is now.
Basically, yeah.
But in a way, I guess it developed into something better for the company as a whole. But, I mean, yeah, it's good to see some change. I wasn't sure how I liked Brock Lesnar taking the title back. But I'm hoping and I'm praying that Paul Heyman is smart enough to know that Brock Lesnar has to lose at SummerSlam.
I agree. I think he should. I think he should. And I think that the match that him and Seth put on, I think, is going to be great.
Seth Rollins is probably the best wrestler in the world.
I agree. He's actually my favorite wrestler to watch. Like, back then, before, like, the change happened, I would only watch Seth Rollins. I don't really like to watch Bobby Lashley, dude. I feel like he looks, maybe it's his character, but he's always so confused.
I think he doesn't really have a character. I think that's why he just kind of goes out there and does his own thing.
He'd be a really great faction muscle guy. Like,
yeah, not
so he's not good on the mic, and I think that's why I got Leo Rush to be with him.
Yeah.
So.
And then Leo Rush pushed everyone off, and so he's gone now.
Yeah, yeah. What happened?
I don't know. I guess, you know, he just a lot of backstage heat, and I guess he's only like 20 years old. So I mean, I think
wow.
you know, just him being young. And that's a pretty big environment to be on TV or week and 20 years old and be in one of the longest running shows, you know, in televised history. I think they talked it over with him now, and I think he might be back. But I want Bobby Lashley to be a monster. I want him to be what they're starting to portray him as now. You know, a non-spoken dude who just goes up there and kicks ass. I mean, that's what he's supposed to be. I mean, look at him.
He's chiseled out of, like, animanium. But, like, I just think that they don't push a lot of the African-American stars. You have Kofi.
They just gave him the title.
They gave Kofi. So, I mean, I get it. Like, so they got Kofi, but it's took them that long. But Vince McMahon, for some reason, he has a thing for, like, big brute guys, but doesn't know what to do with them.
Well, it's not the 90s anymore. It's not the 80s anymore. So that... that whole aspect is gone. I think it's more towards the athletic cut version of someone.
Yeah.
I think that's why Seth Rollins works so well.
Cause same with Kofi. Like
Kofi, too. I mean, but I think what he's getting at is there weren't a lot of really good African-American wrestlers. I mean, you had Shelton Benjamin. Who was
why he never got a push, dude? I think his his ceiling was probably the U.S. title.
Well, he did. He got his chances with Triple H, but I mean that's kind of the wrong guy to get a push against.
Well, yeah, that's given backstage politics. Yeah. I would hate to go like to be in the era with Triple H, man. I can imagine like the amount of bullshit you have to go through, like as a competitor, like.
No, and I mean, you know, he's trying to do things now with NXT, and I mean it's working. And he's definitely got the creative mind for it. But all in all, you know, I think at some point he'll take over for Vince. And I'm hoping that, you know, he does well with it. But I'm interested to see what Eric Bischoff does with SmackDown. Apparently he hasn't even been there yet.
What, so Sasha Banks, man, like, I know she's not back yet.
I don't want her to be back.
What?
I'm not that crazy over Sasha Banks. She's just a whiny on the microphone and pretends that, you know, she's the best wrestler. And she's not. I mean, Charlotte Flair's the best female wrestler. Becky Lynch is the best female wrestler. I mean, Bayley's a better wrestler than her.
And I agree.
They're just better wrestlers than her.
I don't think Sasha Banks is a wrestler. I think she's a gimmick. Hopefully my sister doesn't kill me. I think she's just kind of like a gimmick type of a... like, character. I think she's a gimp, the boss.
Yeah.
Like, she's the boss. So, like, obviously, I think she's built more to be, like, some, like, to be, like, maybe on the mic for somebody who doesn't speak well, like a Dana Brooke. Like,
right.
Maybe, like, that. But she could still, like, take bumps and do things in the ring. But I think that she's improved. I mean, I want her to come back, I think, as a heel. I think heel Sasha Banks is what the company needs. There's too many baby faces, obviously, because Kevin Owens is going baby face now. Or he's doing, like, the whole CM Punk thing, like...
Which is a good role for him. Because, I mean, with this whole Shane McMahon thing, which is dumb. I mean, I love Shane McMahon as a younger heel.
Yeah.
And during the Attitude Era, he was great.
He's like, just the old and annoying,
now. It's not the same.
Yeah, he's kind of old and annoying to me. Like, I'm just like, dude, like, we rehashing the... what was the little thing? What was his... signature move called the coast to coast.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, yeah. He's gonna break a hip, man. I'm kind of tired of him doing what he's doing, just in general. Like, I'm excited to see the direction of where SmackDown and Raw are going. Even NXT, I don't follow NXT. My sister does, so I just think that, like, hopefully they can do something with SummerSlam. And I think the Raw anniversary is Monday.
Yeah,
I think. Right. So I'm actually looking forward to watching that. I'm going to catch that Monday. Hopefully I'll catch it Monday. If not, you know, it's no big deal. I'll just tape it. But because that'll be fun to watch, man. And I think watching everybody kind of sort of just rehash everything out. Maybe Bischoff might show up. Who knows?
Well, you know he'll show up. I think
he actually contributed to, like, the numbers that Raw did when he was there compared to now. It's like minuscule, man.
Yeah,
like, it's like ridiculous at how good he made the show. Like,
I think he made this show good, and I think the writers made the show good, and the stars made the show good.
Yeah,
I mean, you had Edge, you had John Cena, you had Randy Orton.
Would you consider that to be a top 10 feud of, like, all time? Like,
wrestling? Cena?
Yes.
That's like number two.
Yeah, for you?
For me,
that I would say that's like number... That'd be my number two. Like, you got to think about how that all, like... How that all even transpired. I'm trying to remember, why did they even go at... Like, why were they going against each other? I don't remember why.
Well, it's when Edge cashed in his Money in the Bank and New Year's Revolution.
Did anything happen before that?
No.
Okay.
So that's what started the whole thing.
And that was the first, like, Money in the Bank... Contract, okay.
And
yeah.
And they told the story well, because he cashed it in and they lost it at the next pay-per-view to Cena. And then Edge went away for a while, but then Edge came back. And it was kind of a, you know, this is what's going to drive me now. And that's what made, you know, Edge did so well in his character. And he showed that drive in his character for so many years once he got out of that tag team era. And he's really good.
Dude, he's probably one of the best wrestlers, like, as far as like, gimmicks go. Mic skills are on point. In ring, I wish he didn't hurt his neck, man. Like, dude, it was so much fun. The feud with him and Cena, well, the third phase of the feud, I was just like, eh, kind of rehashing everything. But the promo he cut when he was like, I hate you. I hate your shoes. I hate your shirt. I hate your wristbands. I was like, dude, this is... He goes, I hate everything that you stand for. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. And I think that's when Cena was on SmackDown. Or I think he was... Yeah, he was on SmackDown with the World Heavyweight Championship. Well, the big gold belt. Which I wish they'd bring that back as opposed to that stupid red belt. I hate the Universal Championship. I hate it. It just looks like a giant fruit roll-up to me. But... Yeah. Everyone says that it's like a giant fruity gym. Like it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, all in all, it was WWE has gone through phases of terrible television and fantastic television, and I think they're starting to get back to the phase of decent television now. I find Raw and SmackDown easier to watch than I did, you know, a couple weeks ago. It's getting better, but we'll take a hard right here. Because I know people will lose interest in a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I
do. Area 51.
Yo.
What in the hell is going on?
Dude, you have a bunch of people that are bugged out.
That's crazy.
That's what's going on.
That's crazy. And here's the thing. Here's what I don't get. Announcing a date. First of all, nothing's going to be there at Risner. It's going to be gone. So I don't understand why you're announcing today anyway. And second of all, you're going to die. You are going to die. They're not going to arrest you. They're not going to have a a SWAT team standing by. They guard that place for a reason.
Yeah, isn't that like the Air Force is in charge of that, right? I think it's the Air Force that has to do it Area 51. Yeah. So imagine a drone strike on 1.5 million people. And they're saying that to avoid bullets, you have to do the Naruto run. And that's the run where you sprint and you lean forward and you have your hands to your side. Mm-hmm. So you can like avert from sniper rounds.
Oh, that doesn't avoid a bullet to the head.
No, it doesn't. And not to mention they're going to be using automatic weapons. Let me tell you something. I tried on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas to get into Area 51, and I died every time with cheat codes. Imagine what they're going to do in real life, man. You don't have cheat codes. So September 20th, when this goes down, I will purposefully take that whole day off, and I will probably...
Surely to God, this is not going to happen.
You're going to... Guys, if you want to find me somewhere September 20th, I will be at Rancho Grande. No. I'll be at Margaritas, drinking margaritas, and watching this shit go down. I'm gonna watch this if it happens.
Surely to God, this isn't happening.
Because let me tell you something. May not be 1.5 million, but you get a couple hundred people that go out there.
Oh, you get a couple. Yeah, I mean they'll be dead.
Yeah.
It's literally the dumbest thing that I've ever heard.
Do you think there's aliens in there?
No. I definitely think there's more than just us, and there has to be.
Do you think they're keeping something like...
No, I don't think they're harboring alien life forms. I mean, that's dumb to think, but I think, you know, there are definitely some things that... Listen, there are so many things in this world that happen and are happening right now as you and I are having a conversation that we have no idea about. I mean, there are so many things that are happening right now that we couldn't fathom. That are normal to some people. It just happens. So if you think that there isn't anything there in Area 51, you're probably wrong. But are they harboring alien life forms? No. Are they harboring secrets that could lead to showing that there's alien life form? Probably.
I think so. I think that they have the keys to like alternate dimensions and universes, man.
That's all that's saying. I don't know about all that, but I mean, there could be some things that they've, you know, collected over time that are there that, you know, would draw suspicion of, you know, alienness.
But alienness.
At the end of the day, I mean, we'll wrap this up because this is very silly. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't go, because I won't feel sorry for you.
I'm actually going to, like I said, I'm going to take that whole day off on purpose. And if nothing happens, dude, who cares? I'm still just gonna take some time just to see what happens on CNN. So, I mean, now I guess we can just jump into the last segment, man, which I think this is a good segment. I mean, dude, we can go anywhere from Trump. First off, I just want to say this. I think Donald Trump, people who are, here's, I want people to understand something. I'm not for Trump. I'm not against Trump. I just observe a lot of things that he does.
You're a very rare neutral that is left remaining.
Yeah, well, I won't even say that, man. I mean, I don't have left ideologies. I don't think I have right-wing ideologies. I just think I'm really neutral down the middle. Right. I can see both sides, but I can say this. I'm not really liking what I'm seeing from the Democrats, man, the Democratic Party, dude. Mm-hmm. These candidates, man, I'm not liking them at all. Kamala Harris, not liking her at all, man.
I feel like, and I'm not a Democrat, I know people know that, so I apologize if you get upset at this, I don't care. But
open forum, man.
Everyone gets upset these days, so it's really okay.
Yeah.
Democrats don't really have a whole lot. And they're really just kind of going the same old bag that they've been going to for the past, you know, 8 years. Honestly, at this point, I'd rather see him pull out the old hat and, you know, bring Hillary Clinton back again. I mean, at least make it interesting for him. I mean, give someone who came about that close, to, you know, to ending, you know, and people's opinion, the devil, far from it.
Oh, man,
but in people's opinion, you know, Donald Trump, but listen, I'm not saying the guy's perfect. I'm not saying the guy makes the best decisions all the time. I don't agree with what he says half the time. But you have to look at what is going on with the economy. You have to look what's going on with job rates, with just economics in general. Everything that is supposed to happen to make a country good, pardon the pun, to make a country great, is happening. Yes, we do have an extremely divided country. People say the worst since the Civil War. No, it's not the worst since the Civil War, because if it was, we'd be having a Civil War. So it's not the worst since the Civil War. It is extremely divided, though. We've got people who will not listen to you at all. And if you're one of those people who don't listen to you at all, go home. You need to grow a set and just start listening to people, because that's what makes this country what it is. You have to listen. You have to argue. Hey, you have to get to a point to where you both can agree at some point in time. That's just what this country is. That's what it's always been. And I mean, third and most, at the end of the day, if you've got money in your bank account, if you've got food on the table, you've got a home, and you don't have to worry about how low the economy is going to go next, Isn't that what you want? I know you're worried about ethics for your kids and things like that. Ethics for the kids in this generation were screwed up a long time ago.
Oh, ethics for us were screwed up.
And for us, too. Right. But, I mean, just the generations in general were long before this administration came in 3 years ago. So don't blame it on this administration. Oh, this is why America's so messed up. No. It's really not. This happened years ago. And when it happened, I don't know. Who knows? But it's come to the point where people need to sit back and look at what's really going on and sit back and go, it really isn't that bad.
Yeah, I think people are looking at it. People are looking at everything from different scopes, man. I think that
that's right.
You have people who are conservative, who look at liberals as, you know what I'm saying, petulant children. You have people on the liberal side who look at conservatives as racist and kind of haughty or arrogant. And, you know, they don't like that. And I mean, are there idiots on both sides? Yeah, I mean, there's degenerate people on both sides, the way I see it, man. Some of the people who hate Trump take it a little too far. Some of the people who love Trump, they take their nationalism a little too far.
Well, that's true, too. You know, there are some people who are on the right side that take things to a level that I will never get on. And I think that's where the confusion is. People have forgotten that there's Republican, Democrat, extremist right, and extremist left. For some reason or another, if you are Republican, you're a Nazi and a racist. If you're a Democrat, you're a pansy and jobless, which isn't true. And that isn't true for Republicans. you know, not everyone who supports Trump is a Nazi or sexist. They're just not. You just have to use your brain and realize that there are people who have different opinions of you. It's just the way it is.
And I think that on both sides, if you don't agree, they're quick to call you those names.
That's right.
Especially being an African American, man. Like, if you support Donald Trump as an African American, like, you're a sellout. You're a coon, Uncle Tom. Like, look, man, I know plenty of black conservatives, and I mean, they preach their points to me. I just don't care. As far as I think what it comes down to in America, and I think that what we have to realize as a society, not just as a society, but within the black culture, quote unquote, I think we just have to come in and get ours, man. I think that we want to be told sorry most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that we want to expose people for racism. But then what happens after that? So let's say, for instance, like, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Let's say, for instance, man, we call out the racism like we've been doing. I truly believe that there's going to come a time, and I think in 2020 will be that time, where I just think white people, or quote-unquote white people, so-called white people, I say so-called because white's not a race, black's not a race to me. But I think there's going to come a time, you're puzzled by that, I'll explain.
No, you've explained it to me before.
Oh, I have, yeah. Okay. So, like, there's just going to come a time, man, where, like, they're not going to care anymore. So then if you call them racist, and, like, you may have somebody that just goes, okay. So
I mean, I think you're right, but I think we're to that point now.
Yeah, it's really getting...
It's ridiculous at this point, because you have no proof, A, and B, you're just saying things because you've heard them said before.
Well, and I'm not in defense of Trump, but I mean, right. Whenever I hear about people and they bring up Trump being racist, they bring up Central Park 5 and the housing and the whatever he was doing, man. But I also hear the Central Park 5 thing, and it's just like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Trump is no worse, man. I mean, than when Clinton was in office.
I'm glad you brought him up, because I wanted to bring something up if you had.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was a huge contributor to stronger borders.
That's what I heard.
Bill Clinton made a speech about limiting illegal immigrants coming into America. Now, I don't know the speech because I wasn't, A, that old, A, and B, I'm not a Bill Clinton supporter. I don't think anyone should be anyway. But here's the thing. Every country has borders. If you try to just go up to Canada right now, they're not going to let you. You have to go through a process. You have to be approved. If you fly over to England, you have to go through customs. You have to have everything in order just to step foot in that country. Everybody has those.
True.
That doesn't make them racist. That just means they have borders, so you can't just waltz into their country.
So why do you think it's a big issue now that, like, we don't want to let these people in? Like America doesn't want to let these people in from other countries. Like, I don't see this being an uproar in Canada. Like, I don't see this being an uproar in Russia. I don't see this being an uproar anywhere else.
I think it's an uproar because you have people pushing the other side, where they want everybody to come in.
Interesting.
So I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, you know, fingers in the ears on both sides. You know, I really think it's just the push of, well, if you want everybody in, we don't want anybody in. So I think they go extreme left and somebody else goes extreme right with it.
Yeah, because I don't know how I feel about the border thing, about the wall, man. I like I said, I see both sides. I don't think that there's bad people that always come in here, man, but you can never be too careful. So, like, what's going on with these quote-unquote concentration camps, man, I haven't looked too much into those. I'm not really sure
I mean, concentration camps, for who people are calling them that, are crazy. I mean, they're not concentration camps. If they were concentration camps, no, all those people would be dead. I mean, or extremely malnourished, or whatever you call it. They're not concentration camps, okay? They're just not. And here's the thing. They came over here knowing they were taking a risk.
Okay.
You don't go somewhere and know it's illegal to do it and expect nothing to happen.
That makes, yeah.
You don't go and rob Taco Bell right down the street over here and expect when you get caught to be arrested. To not be arrested, rather. Who would expect that? Who would expect to do something illegal and when they get caught to not have anything happen to them? Is it sad that they're putting these people in big rooms? Sure. Or camps or whatever you want to call them. But they made the choice to do things illegally and coming over here illegally. And that is the word that you have to look at, illegal. It is illegal. And I know people are so worried about legal this and legal that, because I mean, there's so many different things in America that people are worried about, you know, legalization of everything. But you just have to look at the words. Don't look at what's behind the words. Don't look at the racism. Don't look at anything that's wrong with it. Just look at the one word, illegal. And it has nothing to do with the Hispanic people. It has nothing to do with the Hispanic culture. It has nothing to do with the country of Mexico. It just simply has to do with that one word, illegal. It's illegal.
That makes sense. That's an interesting way of looking at that. I don't think they would do the same thing for anybody. I just think because they happen to come from Mexico, and we have a large population of Hispanic Americans who have families that are coming from over there, mm-hmm. they're passionate about it. And I know, like I said, I have a friend of mine who's his uncle was sent back to Mexico because he was here illegally. But the process of him coming back to America, this is like a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. he's back now. Like he's back and he speaks English and everything, but like he had to get that done. So now that he's back, he had to come, but it takes a long time.
It does take a long time. And I mean, you know, you and I know someone who goes through that process every 2 years, and yes. he's not from, you know, Mexico, he's from South Africa.
Yeah.
So I mean, America doesn't just target Mexico. I mean, there's people from South Africa that are on the Dreamers list. I know someone from, I had a good friend who was from Argentina. He was on the Dreamers list. It's not just Mexico. It's anyone who comes to America undocumented that is America gives a hard time to, because you're undocumented and you're coming into this country. You just can't, it goes back to one word, illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, like I said, I mean, I'm all for keeping the country safe, man. But just allowing people to come in here, I'm kind of like, I get the gist of it, but it's just like, you know, I'm indifferent, man. I mean, I see both sides, more so the side of coming here the right way.
That's right.
And
I know people, I'm not trying to step over here.
What?
But I know people say, well, what about the kids? You know, what about the children that come with their parents to Mexico, from Mexico to America, and then they get split up from their families. When you go to jail, your kids don't go with you. And your kids don't go with you. If you do a crime, they don't go with you. Why would they go with you? So I know that makes people upset, and I think that's what helps the left a lot, you know, is showing the kids. But at the end of the day, if you commit a crime and you're in America, your kids don't go with you. So why would their kids go with them?
I mean, who knows, man? Maybe it's a prop to garner some sympathy, man. I mean, I could see it being that, but I mean, you know, as much as I would want to let people in, man, it's a land of opportunity. But I think, to get that opportunity, you have to come here the right way. I'm not suggesting that's what it is. That's just what I keep hearing. So I understand that concept. I get it. I'm, like I said, I'm not for the borders. I'm not against it. It's just I'm looking at it from both spectrums, which is one of the things that I think it's kind of hard for people to pinpoint, like what my – I don't have an alliance or an allegiance to like one side. It's just I see both ends of the spectrum. That's what I've always done as a kid. It's just like look at both sides and I'm just like, okay, I see this side here. Let me go and see what they think on this side. So,
right. I mean, when people listen to this, they're going to get riled up either way. But here's the thing, and I think this is what anyone should take home with them. We all live here, right? We all live here. And if you don't have your own opinion, and if you don't have what you believe in to a core, then you're kind of wasting your life. Because then you're just kind of going with whatever people tell you.
Yeah.
And before I end this segment. Racism is probably one of the biggest downfalls of this country, simply because of the fact that it plays too deeply into making decisions.
Explain.
I think a lot of times when we see a crime committed by a minority race, doesn't even have to be black, it could be Hispanic, it can be Asian, it could be anything. Any crime committed by a minority race, I think immediately the majority of people who feel like America is only racist extremely just jump on that minority side without looking into the case and reading it from a full perspective. Now, are there racist cases? Absolutely. Are there racist cops? Probably.
No doubt.
Are there racist people in the world? Absolutely. But there's a warning that we've been seeing for far too long, and I think it's starting to happen at an alarming rate. People are just ignoring the facts and going with one way. You need to step back and look at it from a full perspective. And I know this isn't an original opinion, but step back and look at it through the, you know, through the whole thing. Just don't use a magnifying glass and look at what race they are, what happened. You gotta look at the whole thing. And once you look at the whole thing, I think you'll have a fresh perspective. Have white people gotten away with things that they shouldn't have? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did O.J. Simpson get away with something he shouldn't have? Yeah.
We don't even know if he did it, man.
Shut up.
We don't know if he did it, man. You didn't know Mark Furman set his ass up, bro? Mark Furman set him up, man.
How did he set him up?
Dude,
blood was in his white Bronco.
I think he planted. Dude, listen. Mark Furman
planted OG's was blood listen, along with
Mark Furman was a he's a known that dude is the devil, bro. You want to talk about a devil? He's a known racist, man. Known racist. And not to mention, bro, he was dealing with he had ties to somebody, I can't remember who it was, man, but like he was on tape talking about how, like, yeah, he was trying to get rid of OJ, man. I don't know what OJ did to him though, but Mark Furman, that's all I gotta say, man. Mark Furman, that dude is a trip. I don't even know if he's still alive today. He might not be.
I don't know.
But yeah, I think Mark Furman set OJ up, man. OJ's not smart enough to commit a crime like that, man.
Oh, yes, he is.
How? Okay, then how? Yes, then how did he go? Then how did he go to jail for trying to get his memorabilia back, man? Think about that.
Because he's nuts.
But so you think he's nuts enough to create a whole entire? No,
to
dude.
Murder his. I'm totally blanking on her name.
Nicole,
thank you. To murder Nicole and Ron Goldman, yes, he is that crazy.
Ron Goldman, the same guy who was the...
Was Ron Goldman the one who saw...
I think it is Ron Goldman. No.
I think he was the guy that was like OJ's friend.
Yeah, but I think the Goldman was the dude that was...
Yeah, Goldman, I can't remember.
All I know is, allegedly, from what I heard, dude, from what I looked at, dude, so, like, Goldman was Nicole Brown's Simpson's drug dealer. That's alleged.
Allegedly.
That was so she was out on coke, man. Mm-hmm. And I guess he'd been banging around. Like I said, who knows? Maybe OJ did kill him. I don't think he, I think Mark Furman set him up, man. That's just my humblest opinion there. And that's where we're going to leave it at for today. Or for tonight. But, yeah, guys, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Actually, I'm probably going to have to cut this up into certain parts, Eric, because I think there were parts that the WWE thing, I think I'll release that separately.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Well, but, I mean, you know, like always, man, I mean, this was a lot of fun. We'll hit you up and we'll get you on the Strowbank show.
Real quick. But, I am going to give you a shout out. So on my, on the intro, I am going to bring that up so that way people can go look at it on YouTube. I did subscribe. So you guys should also do the same as well. Eric, say what you were going to say, man. My bad.
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to get you on there and, we're going to see how you do with, you know, Randy and Ray and Levi, but, you know, like always, it was a lot of fun, man.
Ooh, hey. Well, that being said, guys, this is the We Want to Go Ham podcast, and we're out.